Milo's Pro Rewards members. Save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount, plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight. Enjoy the excitement and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Just said she was a nice girl to visit with.
What do you mean that she was a nice girl to visit with?
She was talkative. She was welcome for my visit.
You note here, quote, she didn't look like she was in pain, end quote. Do you see that?
Yes.
What did you mean when you entered that into her chart?
Right above it, I put she was smiling and laughing and telling me about how her hospital room was all set up and her dolls and all that kind of stuff. So she was smiling and laughing, and I don't normally associate that with pain.
Okay. And then you note that a nurse came in to take her blood pressure and she made a face and said she hated it because it hurt. Do you see that?
I do.
Okay. Why is it that you entered that into the note from this visit for today?
Because that's what I saw.
Whether you found it strange that Maya's demeanor would change depending on who was in the room.
Strange? Maybe a little.
And why is that?
Because we were just laughing and then been talking, and then a nurse walked in, and then she changed her demeanor a little bit.
What do you mean by she changed her demeanor a little bit?
What she made, she said she, what did I write down? She made a face that when the person came in, and I wrote down she made the face because she said it hurt when they did that.
My second note that I have here is on GAL 13, and it appears to be a note from November 9 of 2016. It bears your name, Sharon O'Leary Johnson, with the case number. It says contact the child in current placement, contact type face-to-face hours 3.0. Do you see the document we're talking about here?
Yes.
You start the note by noting that Maya was in a lot of pain. Do you see that?
Yes.
Is it fair for me from your note to interpret that Maya expressed that she was in pain to you?
Yes, Maya expressed she was in pain.
And what was your observation about whether or not Maya appeared to be in pain?
We began talking. It didn't appear she was in pain.
You mentioned briefly earlier that Maya's room was decorated. What do you recall about the way in which Maya's room was laid out and decorated on the times that you visited?
Maya had her bed, and then if you're laying in the bed to the right, there was like a long couch, and she had her little Shopkins dolls and all sorts of I guess, toys, different kinds of things. I think she had her makeup stuff next to her on her bed, and it was, she had her artwork hanging.
Did you ever observe her playing with makeup, playing with dolls, doing any artwork, anything like that?
Yes.
Was she able to use her hands?
Yes.
Did you ever have the opportunity to watch Maya trying to get around her room?
Yes, but not at this visit, I don't believe.
Okay. Well, let's just talk in general, whenever that was. How did Maya appear to get around while you were observing her in the room?
She either moved the wheelchair over a little bit, or she asked me to move it over.
There were times she moved her own wheelchair, is that correct? Approximately how many times did you observe Maya moving her wheelchair on her own?
I don't remember.
Well, let's go to our next visit here. I believe it's from November 30, 2016. It's at GAL 12. I've got it pulled up right now. It says Sharon O'Leary Johnson, case number. Activity date is listed as November 30, 2016. Contact the child, other location, visit, face-to-face, 3 hours. Do you see the document that I'm talking about?
Yes.
And then I note on this visit, you state, quote, I helped her with her shoes. She was very quiet, end quote. What are you describing there?
We were going to go down to play the piano in the lobby. She was quiet. She seemed sad.
Okay. Did you recall her explaining why she was sad?
No, not in particular, but in general, she missed her mom and her dad and her brother.
And it says here, quote, we went down to play the piano and she was playing well and having fun, end quote. What are you describing there in that portion of your note?
So when we started, she was sad. And then we went down and she got to play the piano. And she was having fun doing it.
What do you recall about her ability to play the piano, if anything?
Pretty good for 10.
Okay. What do you mean, pretty good for 10?
Well, I mean, she played with both hands and played some songs.
Understood. And where was this piano in relationship to Maya's room?
In a lobby of some sort. At the hospital. I can't remember exactly, but we had to get on an elevator and go down.
And then at some point during the piano playing, you note, quote, when I went to play, she moved herself out of the way so I could access the keys, end quote. Do you see that?
Yeah.
What are you describing there in your note?
She moved herself over.
Did you have to physically move her over, or was that Maya moving herself
over? No, she moved herself.
And then at some point, it seems like her father showed up during this visit. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And it looks like, based on your note, you went back to Maya's room with Mr. Kowalski and Maya. Is that correct?
Correct.
And it appears as if Mr. Kowalski brought her some toys or some presents on this visit. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And you noted here that she was, quote, excited. And when we returned to the room, she put stuff on the couch, then moved her wheelchair from the couch to the chair and began cutting, wrapping, and untying Shopkins, end quote. Do you see that?
Yes.
What are you describing there in that portion of your note?
What she did.
Okay. You said here, quote, she was very excited and didn't look like she was in pain. Do you see that?
Yes.
Why did you include that sentence in your note?
She was excited and cheering and doing things and back to what the shelter order was. I was making observations for people who are experts to use however they saw fit.
All I think you concluded or wrote at the end of this note here, quote, this time I didn't notice her looking like she was in pain at all, end quote. Do you see that?
Yes.
I mean, let me ask you this. Did you author that line at the end of your of this note here that says, quote, this time I didn't notice her looking like she was in pain at all, end quote?
Yes.
And what part of the visit are you referencing in that final sentence?
The piano afterwards.
Piano afterwards, that would include her visit with her father?
Correct.
Okay. So it's fair to say if you visited the child, you authored a note?
Correct.
So ma'am, I just showed you a document that is a guardian ad litem report to the court, and it's signed by Jessica Blackrick for Sharon O'Leary Johnson. Okay.
Right.
You see that document?
I do.
Okay. Is there anything in here that you disagree with in this report?
No, I don't believe so.
Ma'am, my question was, do you have any reason to believe that anything in this report is untrue?
No,
I don't have any reason to believe
that. So, Ms. O'Leary Johnson, do you recall at any point helping Maya Kowalski put her shoes on?
Yes. In my notes, I wrote before we went to play the piano that I helped her put her shoes on.
What do you recall about helping Maya put her shoes on before you took her down for the piano?
Just that all I recall now is just helping her put her shoes on.
Is there anything in paragraph 3 of this report we're talking about here that says observations of the child that you believe to be incorrect?
No, I don't believe anything's incorrect.
When you got to the hospital, or if you called him beforehand, I don't know if you called him or just saw him the first time at the hospital. But when you first spoke to somebody at the hospital, what did they tell you about Maya and her condition?
Nothing.
Well, I'm not under oath, but I'm assuming you spoke to somebody at the hospital, one of the nurses or someone, about Maya's condition.
No.
And during the course of that conversation, they told you something negative about Beata Kowalski.
No.
And during the course of those conversations, they intimated that Beata was some kind of evil person that was keeping Maya from getting better. And that's why she was there. Isn't that true?
Same.
During one of those conversations, you learned that the hospital was trying to demonstrate instances where Maya was not in pain. Isn't that true?
No.
And do you agree with me on that more than one occasion you made comments to the effect that Maya did not seem like she was in pain?
Yes.
And comments like she could move herself. Move herself in the bed, roll over. You made comments like that, right?
I did not say she could roll over.
All right.
I believe in my notes, I said that she moved herself from within her wheelchair to the couch to play with the presents that her dad purchased for her.
Now, what was the purpose of that in determining Maya's best interest of putting that in there?
Because of my understanding, limited understanding of the shelter order. I made observations of what I saw.
Do you have any medical training whatsoever to understand exactly when someone's in pain or not in pain?
No.
You said, when I went to play, she moved herself out of the way so I could access the keys. Now, why would you say that if you weren't trying to specifically prove something?
Mr. Anderson, my job is to report what I saw and my observations and my opinion about what I saw. And that's what I documented.
No, your duty was to protect Maya, was it not?
Wouldn't say the term protect. My term I would use would be advocate.
Okay. And who are you? Why advocate? Don't you advocate for Maya?
Correct.
Or are you advocating for the state?
Advocate for Maya.
Do you advocate for the hospital?
No.
but you took whatever they said to be true, correct?
I didn't talk to the hospital.
All right. Well, you say you report what you saw. Would you agree with me? It's a little unusual to pick out of all the things you saw. When I went to play, she moved herself out of the way so I could access the keys. Now, why else would a guardian ad litem possibly put that particular, out of all the interactions with that little girl, why would a guardian ad litem supposed to protect her put that scenario in?
Because it's what I saw.
Okay. All right. And so if we're talking about the actual time with Maya, we should deduct 1 to 2 hours, depending from that 3 hours, right?
I spend between probably 35 minutes to an hour with Maya on each visit.
In any event, you also said that when we returned to the room and put stuff on the couch, then moved her wheelchair from the couch to the chair and began cutting, wrapping, and untying Shopkins. Did you not?
Yes.
Okay. So why put in about her moving her wheelchair if it wasn't to try to prove a point?
Just put it in because I thought it was important to note.
Well, right after that, you say, she was very excited and didn't look like she was in pain. You see that?
Correct. Yeah.
And then the next sentence is, this time I didn't notice her looking like she was in pain at all. Right?
Correct.
Now, would you agree with me, to most reasonable people, it looks exactly like you were putting in instances there to try to support your conclusion that Maya wasn't in pain?
I'm not an expert on everything. I'm just recording that it, to me, and being not an expert, she didn't appear like she was in pain. At the time, I thought it was relevant for my team to see.
Relevant for who?
My team, my child advocate manager and my attorney. To my understanding, they're the only people that see what's in Optimum.
Okay. So again, like the hospital, you use a team approach, right? Go ahead. You use a team approach.
We use a team approach.
And you're saying the only goal is to reunite Maya with her family?
That's the primary goal in all our cases.
I'm asking you to connect up how putting all these comments in these notes, how does that help reunite Maya with her family?
I don't know one way or another what it was going to do. I was documenting my thing. That's all I can tell you. I wasn't trying to not reunite Maya. I wanted what was best for Maya.
Well, if we go then to the November 9th, 2016, working back, when I asked Maya how she was doing, she said she was in a lot of pain. We then began talking about various things, her artwork, going to baking class, makeup and clothes. During that discussion, she was smiling and giggling and had a great time. Farther down, you say, she didn't appear to be in pain. How is that reuniting Maya with her mom, her dad, and her brother?
To be perfectly honest with you, I don't really know the answer. I don't put those two together. It was not to do either one of those things. It was to be able to document for my team, this is what I saw in a snapshot in time.
Did your team want to help prove that Beata Kowalski was abusing Maya?
No.
And then you say in PT that when they moved her from the chair to the mat, PT It says, it's hard to read, but when they moved her from the chair to the mat, and she made faces, but as soon as they engaged in an activity, the grimace was replaced with a smile. You learned that from the physical therapist right there?
Yes, that's what the physical therapist said.
Instead of saying nothing, you said, she told me that it wasn't proper protocol to take blood pressure on a RSD patient. She made a face during the process, but when once resumed talking to me, I can't read this. I'm sorry. It says, but when over resumed talking to me. Okay. So she made a face during the process, but when over resumed talking to me. And then you also say, she told me she didn't like the PT because she really shouldn't be doing it. She also told me that her maternal grandfather had pain in her legs and that her mother told her grandmother probably had RSD also because it runs in the family. So would you agree with me that you were in fact discussing Maya's illness, her reflex sympathetic dystrophy?
Maya was discussing it.
Well, what was your role in discussing it?
I don't recall other than listening to her.
Why put it in the report? Is it going to medical doctors?
Not going to medical doctors.
Then why put it in the report?
Because I wanted my team to know what I observed and what she said.
If you Googled it, you'd recognize what RSD lesions look like. Would you agree with me there?
No, I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor.
Did you ever see anything to indicate that Maya's pain wasn't completely real?
No.
So, again, your primary duty is to ensure the child's returning to, or one of the primary duties is to ensure the child is returning to a safe home. Is that right?
Yeah. So my duties are to advocate for the child.
Advocate what for
and the goal that we have is to reunify the child with the family.
All right.
So it's kind of two separate, one's a goal, one's a responsibility.
Well, what else did you comment on other than her pain levels?
She was happy, giggling. She played the piano. She was cutting up stuff with her dolls, played with her dolls.
Well,
those are different things that we did.
Well, you're not a doctor, but you reported on whether you thought she had pain, right?
I reported on that it didn't appear, my opinion.
Right? But you
did
report.
I reported it to my team, not to anyone else.
Okay. Would there have been occasions where you would have discussed this case with members of your team, either Ms. Blackrick or a guardian ad litem attorney?
Yes.
All right. So my understanding is you documented certain things in notes, and that's through Optima, right?
Yes.
Okay. And at other times, am I correct in concluding that you would have had oral conversations with Ms. Blackrick and perhaps Mr. Monahan?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you know if all of those oral conversations get committed to writing or not?
I don't know.
Am I correct in assuming that you don't recall each and everything that you reviewed or that you spoke to in connection with your guardian ad litem services here?
Correct.
Okay. And I think you mentioned members of the guardian ad litem team. That would have been Ms. Blackrick, Mr. Monahan. Is there anybody else on the team that you would have reported to?
No.
Hey, and Ms. Krells, what's the next deposition? deposition of Dr. Windham. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the evidence you give in this cause will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Good morning, Dr. Windham. Thank you for coming in today, taking some time out of your busy practice to answer some questions about your involvement with Maya Kowalski. I'd like to just start off by getting your name and date of birth for the record, please.
Hugh Windham, January 16, 1959.
Can you give me the benefit of your education and training and your specialty, starting with college and moving through fellowship, please?
Undergraduate, Duke University, medical school, Duke University, internal medicine, residency, internship, Georgetown University, allergy immunology, Johns Hopkins University.
Can you please explain what an allergist and immunologist does?
Cares for patients, adult and children, with allergic and immunologic conditions, ranging from respiratory, skin, drug reactions, insect reactions, immune deficiencies.
And you indicated you treat both pediatric and adult patients?
Correct.
Are you able to estimate what percentage of your practice is pediatric versus adult?
We always see about 25% kids, 25% Medicare, and another in between.
You do have some staff privileges at some local hospitals, correct?
Correct.
Which ones do you have privileges at?
Sarasota Memorial Hospital, and I guess consulting at Doctors Hospital, and do the same thing at Lakewood Ranch.
Okay. And I also see here that you are or were an associate clinical professor of medicine at USF, College of Medicine.
And indeed, in both FSU and USF.
Okay, and how long have you been doing that?
25 years.
And do you have any board certifications?
In internal medicine and allergy and immunology.
Where have you practiced since you were completing your fellowship in allergy and immunology?
Here in Sarasota.
Do you have any independent recollection of treating Maya Kowalski or interacting with her mother, Beata Kowalski?
No.
Okay, it's fair to say you'll be chart-driven today.
No, I'll chart-driven.
In other words, you're going to rely on what you documented
yes.
back in 2015. And your paperwork indicates that the referring physician here was a John Wassener.
Correct.
Do you know who Dr. Wassener is?
Yes.
What's your experience with Dr. Wassener?
All good.
So a reference to Dr. Kreisman below there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who Dr. Kreisman is?
Yeah, for all children, yep.
And he, do you know what his specialty is?
Pulmonary.
The prescriptions that Maya Kowalski was on and over-the-counter medications, according to this new patient questionnaire, were what?
Qvar, Albuterol, Claritin, Flonase, Prednisone, cough medication. I guess the other thing, I can't read the other one. Okay. HVI, MVM, multivitamins, probiotic.
Okay, can you please explain what Qvar?
Explain
what all these medications
Qvar
are.
Qvar is an inhaled steroid for asthma. Albuterol is a bronchodilator for asthma. Claritin is an antihistamine. Flonase is a nasal steroid. Prednisone is an oral steroid. Cough medicine, and multivitamins and probiotics.
The information relayed to you under respiratory allergies, subsection 3,
mm-hmm.
What are listed there as things that exposure that would make Maya worse?
Right.
What's listed there?
Oh, cat, dust, smoke, mold, pollen.
Okay. And on 7, it indicates that Maya had been hospitalized previously for
yes.
asthma.
Just a few days before.
And what was the day of the first presentation?
June 24th.
2015?
Correct.
And was it the first time that you, to your knowledge, ever
Correct.
Saw Maya Kowalski?
Correct.
And then under subsection 2, subsection D, can you please list off the types of steroids that were listed here?
Where are you?
Subsection
previous.
2D. Yeah.
Trying to the ones circled or the ones?
Orpred,
yeah.
So she said Orpred every 1 to 2 months.
And what is Orpred?
Orpred's an oral steroid.
Oral steroid.
Like prednisone.
Okay. Is it similar to prednisone?
It basically is, yes, liquid form.
Prednisone. Yeah. And prednisone can come in different forms?
Pretty much.
Liquid or
pill form? Liquid, oral, IV.
What was reported to you as her daily activities?
Gymnastics.
And I believe that says ice skating.
Sounds good. Ice skate.
Okay. All right. And we'll talk about what you actually observed and what was reported to you. I'd like to flash forward now to WAAS 1, which mm-hmm. is what appears to be a consult note from your office
Correct.
Dated June 24, 2015. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. And to your knowledge, this is the first time that you saw Maya Kowalski?
Correct.
Okay. What was the reason for the appointment?
They wanted to discuss several things, some allergies to airborne allergens, review their previous testings and deal with her breathing problems and cough.
And what were some of the symptoms that were reported to you on her chest?
It went back into the previous week when she was hospitalized, but currently she was doing better. Just started coughing that day, just here in the office.
And it indicates here that mom gave 20 milligram prednisone that night, correct?
That was back. That goes back to when the flare was 10 days ago.
And that was 2 days ago?
10 days ago.
10 days ago. So there was a flare 10 days ago before presenting to you.
Exactly. And I was evaluating that.
Okay. And what does it indicate that mother did in response to this flare-up?
She gave 20 milligrams of prednisone that night, ended up in the hospital the next day.
Okay. And when was prednisone ended?
4 days ago, so it's like a 5 or 6 day course.
And what is prednisone, doctor?
Again, it's an oral steroid for inflammation.
Okay. Is it commonly given for patients
for
with asthma?
Asthma, yes.
Were you aware of what Maya Kowalski's prednisone action plan was?
No, but I did. When I looked at Priceman's note from the day before, I guess it was Priceman's. They talked about an action plan. I don't recall if I ever saw her action plan. No.
I'd like to represent to you that Dr. Kreisman has documented and also testified that the action plan indicated that if Maya dipped into a quote-unquote red zone,
right,
based on a peak flow meter,
uh-huh,
that she was to be given prednisone,
sure, that's
60 milligrams times one, albuterol as well, and call Dr. Kreisman's office or call a local emergency room.
Correct.
Does that help refresh your recollection?
No, that's standard. That's standard of care. So
okay, that sounds like a standard,
yeah,
action plan.
Yeah.
In terms of red zones for patients with suspected asthma, what is your customary cutoff for the use of prednisone with respect to oxygen saturations?
Specifically oxygen saturation?
Yes.
That's something we don't often have, but it's usually a collection of symptoms and findings. But in reference to oxygen saturation, we'd say under 94. That it depends on what that patient's done before. If it's a COPD patient, they live under 94, so it had to be under 90. So,
but for a patient like Michael,
an asthmatic can normally live at 98, probably under 94, maybe.
Okay.
But we don't isolate drugs on one finding. It's how the patient's doing and how long it's been going on for, how they're sleeping at night, etc.
Same question for a peak flow meter.
That's objective. The problem with that device is if you don't try very hard, it's not going to be very good. So we don't use that a lot. But it's always been historically part of the action plan. But it's faulty.
Anything remarkable under the social history?
Nope.
Hospitalization, major diagnostic procedure, asthma. What's the significance of that document or that note in your document?
Just to indicate that she's been hospitalized for asthma before.
Can you please describe what your physical examination was on
it was pretty
June
normal.
Of 24, 2015?
It was pretty normal. There was mild nasal mucosal edema. Mild cobblestoning in the back of the throat, which usually indicates drainage, posing of the drainage, and everything else. Some hypopigmented areas in the folds of her arms and behind her knees, which goes along with the history of eczema.
Okay. And I note, I see here in the first line that you note the patient was pleasant, NAD. What is the significance of that documentation?
To be truthful, it's kind of a default, but as long as someone's not in distress or sitting there, febrile, shaking, we all say pleasant, no apparent distress.
And NAD. You had a chance to also observe the patient's lungs, correct?
Yes.
How did you do that?
Listening to her back with a stethoscope.
And what was the finding of your lung examination?
It was clear and no abnormal breath sounds were heard.
And what is the significance of that, doctor?
At that moment, her lungs were clear.
We're going to move over to WAS 3 now, okay? There's a section here, assessment, correct?
Yes.
Is that your assessment?
Correct.
And these are the assessments that you
you
put in the chart after your observation of the patient.
Correct.
What were your assessments?
Allergic asthma, allergic rhinitis, allergic conjunctivitis, atopic dermatitis, food reaction, and a family history of allergy.
And then asthma allergic. What is allergic asthma?
Asthma can be allergic and non-allergic. More often in kids, there's an allergy component, so it means they have allergies as a contributing factor to their airway.
And as a result of these assessments, I see here that you came up with four different treatment plans, correct?
Correct.
What was the treatment for the allergic asthma?
To continue her current regimen of that inhaled steroid, Qvar. And to have the reliever, albuterol, or ProAir available as needed.
And that was something that Maya was already on by the
Correct.
Time she saw you?
It was just continuation, so no change.
And so the event that was that you're referencing there, that would have been something that was either from reported to you by
Correct.
Either Beata Kowalski or Maya Kowalski?
Yeah, I didn't have breakfast in the hospital.
Okay. And can you read the next line in your entry from there?
I said, the cough that seemed to start with each day sounds like a heavy cough occurring every 15 seconds in a healthy, well-appearing girl with normal lung sounds.
Doctor, what is a habit cough?
Habit cough is oftentimes involuntary, but a cough that kids will do, some adults will do it as well. And it can become self-perpetuating. It's not due to underlying airway disease. It's more of an upper airway and throat-clearing cough.
What do you mean by self-perpetuating?
Well, if you cough long enough, you usually irritate the airways, and nerve endings do get ticklish, and then you actually have a cough from that irritation. Just like scratching yourself, you'll eventually hurt yourself and have a problem.
I'll represent to you, Doctor, that there are some records pertaining to Maya Kowalski that reference a psychogenic cough. Do you know what a psychogenic cough is?
It would be similar, yep.
Is there any distinction or difference between a psychogenic cough and a habit cough?
No, I guess it's just a different word for the same thing.
When you reference a habit cough here, Doctor, are you referring to an underlying pathology that caused that cough?
I don't know what it was caused by, but I would it would dismiss asthma. What it would do, or dismiss some other lung pathology, but it's not saying what it is.
And you also noted here that she was a happy, well-appearing girl?
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
That she wasn't in distress, wasn't struggling to breathe, wasn't using accessory muscles, wasn't any form of distress.
You also note here, Doctor, that she, Maya, apparently had a normal spirometry yesterday, end quote. Do you see that?
Right.
What was the source of this information that she had a normal spirometry?
When I say apparently, that means I didn't see the record. Except when we got the record, I just saw it this morning, and it was normal.
Okay, and what is spirometry?
The breathing test she had the day before at the pulmonary office. And so mom must have mentioned, or dad must have mentioned that they told me it was good. Terrible, they tell you it was good, and then they told she must have used the word normal.
Have you had a chance as of today to review spirometry readings from Maya Kowalski prior to the presentation on June 24, 2015, to your office?
I have now, yes.
What spirometry record did you review for Maya Kowalski?
From the day before, so the 23rd, I believe.
Do you recall where that spirometry test was performed?
Wherever, pulmonary office, I don't recall.
And what were the results of that spirometry test?
It looked normal.
And what, again, is a spirometry test?
A pulmonary function test.
Also known as a PFT?
Correct.
In patients with asthma, do you often see normal or abnormal spirometry tests?
Well, you can see both. Asthma is a lay-by disease that can be terrible one day and be good another day.
Okay.
But when it's good, it gives you confidence that there is hope, and they're not always chronically inflamed.
Now, your next line, you say, quote, something doesn't fit here, end quote. What did you mean when you documented that?
That's my little reminder to keep an open eye to a case that's not a round hole and round peg, that something didn't seem right. Not that I knew what it was, but we don't normally see that normal tests in settings of ER and hospital visits, and that's all. And the first visit, there wasn't much more to it than that.
It says, quote, turns out they have a pulse ox, and last week when, quote, so sick, end quote, it dropped to 96%, end quote. What is the significance of that notation, Doctor?
That if someone was having severe asthma, it would have dropped lower than that.
Lower than 96%?
Correct.
Is 96% within normal limits for a child like Maya Kowalski?
Yes.
What is the normal reference range for oxygen saturations in a patient like Maya Kowalski?
96 to 100.
And then you document here, quote, something is really not right. This is not just asthma, end quote. Do you see that?
Yes.
What is the significance of that notation?
Again, just to remind me at future visits that we need to keep an open eye. It may just be asthma, but there are some cases that we'd like to make sure we're not tunnel vision and dealing with one thing.
You're familiar with the concept of a differential diagnosis, correct?
Correct.
And what were some of the things that you were considering at this point on the differential diagnosis for Maya Kowalski?
I don't know if I had much in mind at that early stage. And then when she's seen a pulmonary already, that still makes me wonder if they got it right. And we would just want to get more information over time to see how it all pans out.
And then you note here, quote, I have not changed her asthma meds yet. If anything, I'd consider reducing them. Do you see that?
Correct.
Were you, as of June 24, 2015, considering reducing Maya Kowalski's asthma medications?
Because of the disconnect between symptoms and testing, both spirometry, pulmonary function, and pulse oximetry, that we always want to do no harm, and too much medicine can do harm.
Did you notice any rashes or lesions on the patient as of June 24, 2015?
I didn't record it, no.
Okay. And would that be something you would have recorded in your ordinary mm-hmm. practice if it had existed?
Yeah, probably.
And she's been avoiding shrimp, correct?
Correct.
And she's avoiding shrimp since 4 years of age?
Yes.
And that was on what date?
A follow-up visit on July 1st, 2015.
The HPI, history of present illness, would this be information provided by mom or the patient, or is this also something that you may have personally observed?
It's our interpretation of the history that we take from the patient and family.
Okay. Now, I note here that chest symptoms include cough and SOB, that shortness of breath.
Correct.
Flared after leaving here last week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This would have been per a patient or
That's
family
right.
report?
That's again, this history, okay. So yes.
So I'd like to know the source of the information to the best of your ability here for the chest symptoms include a cough and SOB flared after leaving right. here last week, end quote.
Yeah, the whole HPI is a history taken from whoever was in the room.
And then the next line here says, quote, even though her pulse ox was 96, mom gave her 40 mg prednisone and albuterol, two puffs, Q, 20 minutes, time 4, and drove to ER, mm-hmm. but it was busy, so they left, end quote.
Yes.
You see that?
Yes.
What would have been the source of that information?
The family.
So what is the significance of the documentation, quote, even though her pulse ox was 96, mom gave her 40 mg prednisone and albuterol, two puffs, Q, 20 minutes, times 4, end quote.
Just to raise a little question about the severity of the attack.
And I think you testified earlier that if a pulse ox is below 94, you could get prednisone.
Yes.
Okay. But above 94%, so above...
Depends on other circumstances as well, but there again, that's just kind of a red flag that we want to keep an eye on.
So based on the totality of the information you had as of July 1, 2015,
right.
What is your opinion about giving 40 milligrams of prednisone and two puffs of albuterol Q 20 minutes times 4 with a pulse ox of 96.
On the surface, I would just wonder if that's overtreatment.
Okay. You had a chance to review the Venice regional emergency room records
right.
associated with that visit, correct?
Yes.
Just describe generally the course of treatment at Venice Regional.
Basically, she went through triage, which means they just checked in. There's a discussion of pain.
Where was that pain?
In the throat, currently 8 out of 10 on the pain scale. Behavior is anxious, it says. And then the only objective evaluation, or vital signs.
And what were the vital signs on June 24, 2015?
Her pulse was elevated at 136, respirations 22, normal temperature. Pulse ox was 100% on room air.
What does that mean, pulse ox 100% on room air?
It was normal. She was oxygenating well.
Was she in a red zone?
No.
Okay. What else occurred at Venice Regional based on your review of Exhibit 2?
Been placed. This is taking too long. They left the premises. They left at 2018. And we got there at...
2018 would be what, 8:18 p.m.?
Yeah.
And you know what time they arrived?
6 till 8.
6 till 8, so 7:54 p.m.?
Yeah.
And they departed?
They were there 22 minutes.
22 minutes, and departed?
Yes.
Based on your review of Exhibit 2, how long were the Kowalskis at the emergency room? 16
minutes, 6, 22.
22 minutes?
Yes. 24, mm-hmm. Let me do my math better, 18 and 6, 24.
24 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Any indication from the emergency room records that the patient was in apparent distress with respect to her pulmonary function?
Mentions cough. She started with a little bit of cough, but it progressively got worse. She had prednisone due to his mom's history. Since 6 p.m. tonight, patient coughing nonstop in triage. Breath sounds clear.
Oh, so the breath sounds were also noted to be clear?
Yes.
What was the pulse ox, doctor?
100%.
And what were the results of breath sound testing?
Breath sounds clear.
Okay. I'll turn back to your WAS-005 consult note authored by you July 1, 2015.
Yes.
We'll pick up where we left. After departing from Venice Regional, what was reported to you about Maya's condition?
Apparently she improved on the way home.
Okay. And then, quote, the week prior she had a two-day hospitalization for the same thing, end quote. Do you see that?
Yes.
Would that have been per patient report?
Yes.
Okay. You also indicate here that, quote, she finished prednisone yesterday, end quote. You see that?
Yes.
Would that have been per patient or mother report?
Yes.
Okay. Quote, nocturnal awakening due to breathing problems, none, end quote. Do you see that?
Yes.
What is the significance of that finding on the HPI?
That's a question we always ask, because severe asthma will cause nocturnal awakenings. If they're not having it, that's encouraging.
And were nocturnal awakenings happening here?
No.
So it indicates here she uses a bronchodilator infrequently, end quote, correct?
That's what it says.
What is a bronchodilator?
That'd be albuterol.
Okay, and that's like an inhaler?
Yes.
Okay. History of asthma since 7 years old, but had croup episodes earlier requiring hospitalization a few times. You see that?
Correct.
H-E-N-T. Current symptoms include minimal upper respiratory problems now, mm-hmm. end quote. Do you mm-hmm. see that?
Yep.
What's the significance of that documentation?
That the upper airway is doing well.
And you noted that the nasal secretions are clear.
Correct.
Now, we know that you did some epicutaneous skin testing. We talked a little bit about that earlier. What were the results of that skin testing?
The results are in bold, and it's positive trees, Bermuda grass, a few molds, cat, dog, and cockroach.
In other words, based on your documentation, Maya was allergic to a few things, right?
Correct.
And what, she was allergic to trees, right?
Yes, yep.
Any specific type of tree?
Oak, Australian pine, bayberry, birch, and beech.
Oh, allergies, okay. Yes. And so there's a family history of allergies.
Exactly.
And I think you said that allergies tend to run in families, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I see here that you say, quote, I was disappointed to hear that she ended up on a week of high-dose oral steroids the night she left here last week, end quote. Do you see that?
Yeah.
And when she left here last week, that's a reference to June 24, 2015?
Correct.
The consult we've already talked about?
Correct.
Why did you note that you were disappointed that Maya ended up on a week of high-dose oral steroids?
Well, I don't like anybody getting sick. I don't like anybody having to use steroids.
Okay.
This is more a reference just to be personal.
Would you defer to other providers, though, that had prescribed steroids?
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that's unfortunate to hear that she ended up having it happen.
Okay. And I think we talked a little bit about Maya's asthma action plan. Did you see anything incorrect with her action plan?
No. No, but as things go on, then talking about the pulse oximetry needs to be looked at.
And I think you referenced earlier that red zone action plan was standard of care.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Moving forward here, you indicate, quote, the cough started here in the office, a classic habit cough with normal exam and peak flow rate, end quote. Do you see that?
Yes.
What's the significance of that entry?
Just, again, put that flare in context with the context I saw that day, and then she was in the ER the next day, so we're just kind of saying that's how she was the day before.
So when you're saying the cough started here in the office, are you referencing on June 24?
Exactly.
Did you observe a classic habit cough on... Or did you observe any cough on July 1 of 2015?
No, I don't believe so. Okay. Well, we didn't do an exam, but there's no history, I don't think. But we're going to do an exam on a skin test visit, just have the testing.
Okay, so this is more for skin testing.
Yes, but okay. She wasn't coughing at the time.
All right. So you, no. If she was coughing on July 1, 2015, would you have made note to that?
Yeah. Okay. Usually we say still coughing, or said she improved on the way home, so I must have said that's kind of where it ended.
Gotcha. So is it fair to say that this reference here is referencing items that occurred before July 1 of 2015.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay. And that would include, quote, even later that evening at home with worsening coughs and SOB, her pulse ox was 96%, end quote.
Yeah.
Okay. Like it was the week before when she went to the hospital, end quote.
Yes.
Again, that's a reference to what happened prior to July 1 of 2015.
Right.
And then, quote, it says here, I have advised mom not to use steroids when her pulse ox is, I believe it says, greater than 94%, end quote.
Yes.
And why did you make that recommendation?
Because, again, things weren't adding up.
Okay. What do you mean things weren't adding up?
And she was getting serious treatment for numbers that were close, if not in the normal range.
And I see a reference here to, quote, her parents were arguing about taking her to ER, comma, so I wonder what role family dynamics are playing, end quote. Do you see that?
Yes.
What's the significance of that entry?
I guess, just to kind of throw in that variable, for good or bad, it's hard to know. I think whenever anybody's going to the ER and have sick kids, stress takes a place, but just pointing it out.
How did you come to learn that the parents were arguing about taking her to the ER?
Because I think I mentioned that dad didn't want her to go or something like that. So,
the best of your knowledge, dad didn't want to take the child to the ER?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this.
I come up with that somewhere.
please tell me what you meant when you documented, quote, her parents were arguing about taking her to ER, so I wonder what role family dynamics are playing, end quote.
I don't know. I don't remember the conversation, but somewhere in there it must have been mentioned that one parent wanted to head to ER and one didn't. But that's not uncommon with allergic reactions or asthma, that everybody has a different judgment of how severe it is. So it's really just a reference to what I was told.
And so what did you recommend for the, quote, big time allergies the patient had?
That allergy shots or allergen immunotherapy would be a therapeutic option. And apparently they consented and wanted to proceed with it, so we were going to move forward in that direction.
What is allergy immunology, doctor?
Immunotherapy.
Immunotherapy.
What is allergy shots?
Allergy shots.
To be desensitized patients to ragweed, cats, dogs, trees, weeds.
Was there ever any follow-up for these injections?
No.
Was there any follow-ups with your office?
No. Okay. Oh, yeah, did we try to call them to remind them? I'd have to see if there was a telephone encounter. Okay. It was, but they said she was sick and didn't want to start the time yet. We did call.
Okay, so the best of your knowledge, there was never any follow-up on treatment number two for allergic rhinitis?
They did not proceed with it.
To the best of your knowledge, was there any follow-up for the treatment recommendation for allergic rhinitis?
They did not return for shots.
Okay. How do you know the patients did not return for shots?
Yeah, they didn't see them again for two more years.
You have a note here that indicates, quote, her skin is doing well, just the residual hypopigmentation, end quote.
Yeah.
So as of this date, is it fair to say you didn't observe any abnormal skin lesions or ailments?
Right.
Okay. You didn't see those?
Did not.
When did you recommend the patient to follow up for the allergic rhinitis treatment?
They could start whenever it's convenient for them. So people will start the next week, 2 weeks later, whenever they're ready to come in and start the allergy shots.
Okay. And you also notice here follow-up in 4 months, correct?
That would then be to see me as a visit to make sure there's progress on the allergy shots. But shots could have started any time.
And to your knowledge, that didn't happen?
It did not happen.
Okay. Did she follow up in 4 months?
No.
Did she follow up for the shots?
No.
Okay. All right. I'm going to fast forward here to WASC 8. Mm-hmm. That's a March 13, 2017 note authored by yourself. Do you see it?
Yes.
Okay. And the date on that progress note, March 13, 2017, right?
Correct.
That is how many months or years had elapsed since you last saw Maya Kowalski?
Be like, 21 months.
I believe the last visit was what, July 1, 2015?
20 months.
About 20 months, okay. Mm-hmm. 1 year, 8 months, yeah, 20 months, okay. And again, the primary care physician is still Dr. John Wassner, mm-hmm. All right? Under reason for appointment, it is indicated that the patient has been doing well. Do you see that?
Yes.
All right. What's the significance of that entry?
That's just the nurse putting that in there, so I'm not sure.
Okay. And what has the patient been doing for allergies or asthma based on reason for appointment?
She's been taking Claritin and Flonase for her nasal symptoms. Her asthma is doing well with low-dose inhaled steroid Flovent. And she's not been eating her rescue or reliever, albuterol.
And is that the ProAir?
Yes.
So ProAir is just what, a brand Relief name?
Bronchodil. Yeah, exactly.
Brand name, Prilobuterol?
Yes.
Okay. Albuterol inhaler.
Right.
Okay. Under history of present illness, again, this is something that would have been provided per patient or family report.
Yes, right.
It indicates that, quote, she has been doing well since last office visit.
Yes.
Okay. And that last office visit was July 1, 2015?
Correct.
There's also a report here that the patient had minimal problems with breathing. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. Was there any nocturnal awakening due to breathing problems?
No.
And it indicates, again, that she's been using her bronchodilator infrequently?
Correct.
Okay. Is some of this a carryover,
yes,
too?
Yes, the rest of the details carryover, yeah.
And under HENT, I think we have some carryover here as well.
Nothing's changed.
Under HENT, it indicates, quote, current symptoms include minimal upper respiratory problems now, end quote.
Now that's the current report, and the rest is carryover.
All right. And what's the significance of minimal upper respiratory problems now?
Means her nose or allergic rhinitis is doing well.
Okay. And skin, again, it looks like that's a carryover.
Correct.
Under MSK there, do you see musculoskeletal?
Yes.
Would this have been per patient report?
Correct.
All right. Pain in her legs for the past 2 years, now in a wheelchair, end quote. Mm-hmm. All right. She had been diagnosed with RSD or regional pain disorder. Mm-hmm. Do you hold yourself out as someone with a special expertise or knowledge of complex regional pain syndrome?
Not at all.
Do you know what it is?
No.
What were her vital signs on this day?
Peak flutter rate was 250. Her weight was, we didn't must not have weighed her in the wheelchair. Her blood pressure was 120 over 80, heart rate 100, respiratory rate 20.
Are any of those outside of normal limits?
No.
Blood pressure, significance of that?
Right. Blood pressure is normal.
And then respiratory rate?
That's normal.
And then you did a physical examination on this day, too?
Correct.
And that's something you physically and personally would have done?
Right.
You indicated the patient was, quote, pleasant, correct?
Yes.
And again, you said that she was NAD, correct?
Right.
And what does NAD stand for?
No apparent distress.
Did you notice anything abnormal with her eyes?
No.
What about her ears?
No.
What about her nose?
Normal nose, normal sinuses, oral cavity.
Oral cavity was normal?
Normal.
What about the neck?
Neck, heart rate, rhythm is normal, and lungs were clear, skin clear without rash.
What is the significance of a finding the lungs are clear bilaterally?
Just there's no obstruction of the airway, no abnormal lung sounds that would bring attention to a lung condition.
And you note here skin, quote, clear without rash, end quote. Do you see that?
Yes.
What's the significance of that finding?
Their eczema was not active.
All right. And if you had noticed active eczema, is that something that you would have documented?
Yes.
And that's something that, as an immunologist, an allergist, you keep an eye on because allergies often present on the skin?
Exactly.
And you note under allergic rhinitis treatment, quote, this is the first time I've seen her in a few years, end quote, correct?
Yes.
And you had recommended for more frequent follow-ups than 20 months, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Quote, she remains on a lot of meds despite doing so well, end quote. Do you see that?
Yes.
What's the significance of that entry?
Her nose actually done very well, and maybe not doing shots is totally fine because she's doing so well. And at the same time, she might not need medication, so
okay.
We should have back off, and people are doing well.
And you indicated, quote, let's cut back on Claritin and the nose sprays, end quote.
Right.
What was that a reference to? What specific medications were you referencing we should cut back on?
Those two, Claritin, which is the antihistamine, and Flonase, which is the nose spray.
Asthma mild intermittent, quote, she should also try cutting back meds here too, end quote, correct?
Right, yes.
You see, why did you recommend that Maya should also try cutting back on meds here too?
Well, just like when people are bad, we add medications. When people are well, we see if things can be cut back. So it would just be a time to see if the asthma is improved and to go off it.
And what medication specifically you were referencing here that she should try to cut back on?
The inhaled steroid Flovent.
Any other ones?
No.
Okay. And then under atopic dermatitis, also known as eczema, you indicate here, quote, her skin is doing well, end quote. You see just the residual hypopigmentation, correct?
Yeah.
And that was the same hypopigmentation we talked about from back in 2015?
Yes.
And you noted that her skin was doing well. What's the significance of that entry?
Just to demonstrate that it was not active and didn't need to be addressed further.
And what was your recommended follow-up plan here?
No, probably as needed. I don't know what I said, but 1 year.
1 year. To the best of your knowledge, was there ever any other follow-up with Maya Kowalski?
No.
To your knowledge, is she still treating with you?
No.
To the best of your knowledge, based on your review of Exhibit 3, what was the action plan for Maya Kowalski with respect to prednisone and her asthma flare-ups as of June of 2015?
It's number 4, their plan. And they should immediately dose her with prednisone 60, then provide 8 puffs of albuterol or 2 vials of the nebulizer and give us a call.
And that is if she, quote, falls into the red zone, end quote?
Correct, yeah.
To the best of your knowledge, what does that mean, the red zone?
Well, you get someone's baseline peak expiratory flare rate on the peak flow meter, and then you do percentage drops. So the first drop is 20% would be green zone. That's okay. You can be within 20%. If you're 20 to 40, it's yellow. And if you're below 40%, lower than normal, you're in a red zone or danger zone.
Okay. So to the best of your recollection and knowledge here, prednisone was to only be given if the patient was in a red zone?
Correct.
Prednisone would not be given if the patient was in a green zone?
Correct.
What was the other zone that was referenced?
Well, it's green, yellow, and red.
But based on your knowledge of the action plan, which color would correspond with prednisone use?
Red.
To the best of your knowledge, does prednisone use correlate with being in the yellow zone?
No.
Does prednisone use correlate with being in the green zone?
No.
Okay. So this was not daily, this was not a recommendation for daily prednisone use?
Correct.
Going back to physical examination on page 2, I'd like to go through the physical examination that was done on June 23, 2015 and ask you a few questions, okay?
Sure.
Indicates here that the patient's heart rate was 86. Do you see that?
Yes.
Is that within normal limits for a patient like Maya Kowalski?
Sure.
Respirations were 20. Is that also within normal limits for a patient like Maya Kowalski?
Yes.
oxygen saturations were 98% on room air. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
What is the significance of oxygen saturations at 98% on room air?
Normal.
Normal. Would that qualify for being in a red zone?
No.
Under general appearance, it's documented that she is, quote, healthy,
well-nourished, polite, cooperative, and in no distress, end quote. Do you see that?
Yes.
And then under skin, it indicates, quote, warm, dry, intact, no rash or breakdown, end quote. Do you see that?
Correct.
To the best of your knowledge, was that more or less, does that more or less comport with your findings from June 24 of 2015?
Yes.
Does that comport with your findings on subsequent follow-up visits with Maya Kowalski as documented in your chart?
Yeah.
At any point, did you see any symptoms of rash when you were treating the patient?
No, just the hypopigmentation.
And you would have documented rash if in fact, it did present?
I should have.
Okay. And under lungs, it indicates clear bilaterally without wheeze, bronchi, or crackle. Do you see that?
Yes.
And what is the significance of clear bilateral lung findings?
Normal lung lungs seem to appear to be normal at that moment.
And did that comport with your findings on June 24, 2015?
Yes.
Did that comport with your findings in subsequent office visits as documented in your chart?
Yes.
Okay. What is a wheeze?
It's an indication of bronchoconstriction here in the airway, so you hear air going through a small caliber bronchial tube.
Did you ever personally observe that while you were treating Maya Kowalski?
No.
And bronchi, what is that?
It's another breath sound that indicates some inflammation of the airway or crackles, same thing.
Did you ever see that during your course of treatment with Maya Kowalski?
No.
And what are crackles?
Another indicator of either bronchitis or some sort of mucus in the airway.
Did you ever document or observe crackles while you were caring for Maya Kowalski?
Nope.
No. Now, it looks like on June 23, 2015, there was also some pulmonary function tests that were done, correct?
Yes.
What were the results of the pulmonary function testing?
They were normal.
Normal. What is the FVC of 97%?
It's forced vital capacity. That's the capacity to empty your airways, and you look at predicted levels for your age and height, and she's anything over 80% is normal, and she's well above that.
She's at 97%, correct?
Yes.
FEV1 of 107%, what is that?
That's the amount of air she can express in the first second of her expiratory phase.
And what are the normal limits for a patient like Maya Kowalski?
Over 80%.
And she is at 107%?
Correct.
What is the next entry, FV1?
That's the ratio, the ratio of those two numbers.
And that's 100%, correct?
Yes.
What's the clinical significance of that to you?
That's normal.
And then there's an FEF 25 to 75 of 120%. What is that?
That's your mid-flow rate, the 25 to 75th percent part of your total blowing. And like small airways, ability to empty air, and she's very well, 120% of normal.
What is the normal reference range for that test?
Over 80.
And she's at 120%?
Yes.
And it indicates here that all of the former prior tests we were talking about represent, quote, normal spirometry, end quote. You see that?
Yes.
What is the significance of that finding?
That she had a very normal test that day.
When you treated with Maya Kowalski throughout 2015 and then later in 2017, did you ever notice any abnormal spirometry?
Well, we never did one, and this is the only one I saw, so this is a snapshot in time.
Okay. You never did any pulmonary function
testing?
No. Based on your physical examination, though, did you notice any type of pulmonary issues while you were treating Maya Kowalski?
No.
Correct. You made some recommendations regarding allergy management, right?
Right.
What were those?
To start allergy shots.
Were those followed?
No.
You walked us through your three encounters with Maya, is that right?
Right.
Okay. And I believe you told us early on in your deposition that you don't have an independent recollection of her or
correct.
Or mom, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On any of your three encounters with Maya, the patient, did you identify her or find her to be in the red zone?
Breathing, no.
Okay.
Doctor, I'm Greg Anderson. I represent the Kowalskis. The two visits you had, leaving out the 2017 visit, mm-hmm. were prior to July 4th, 2015, which is documented as the onset of the CRPS symptoms, right? During the visits to USAW, you never made a diagnosis or notations of any psychiatric or psychological issues or problems with anyone in this family, did you?
No.
And not with the child herself?
No.
Would that be correct?
Right.
Did you receive a call from anyone, any of the pediatricians at JHATCH, Johns Hopkins Old Children's Hospital, asking you about your interaction with the family?
No.
Hey, members of the jury, I think this is going to be a good time for us to take lunch, have them back at 1:30. As a reminder, we're going to be leaving today around 4-ish, okay? Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information, and have a good lunch.
All right.
Okay, the jury's out of our presence. Is there anything we need to address before we leave for lunch?
No, Judge, it would be nice to address the rest of the exhibits when we come back, if
possible. How much more time do you think you need for the exhibits?
15 minutes.
So should we just come back at 1:10 as opposed to 1:15 to give us time to do the exhibits and then address the rehearing and anything else that we need to do?
That'd be great, Judge.
So 1:10 it is. See you after lunch.
Do you want the breakdown now?
Yeah, sure, if you got it.
O'Leary Johnson, defense 32 minutes, plaintiff 1 minute.
Okay.
Every minute counts.
We round up to 5 on that?
Well, honestly, on Dr. Alexander, you were at 9.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.